powerful experience that is to sit and reflect on what happened. And indeed, when watching it, it's 12 years ago, but you can't help thinking the more things change, the more that they stay the same. So much of what we heard expressed about Tasmania remains the case, but I have to say it's great to hear Tim Flannery saying that, you know, you can certainly bring back Lake Petta, and that is our intention, and we will do that. And what a great thing it would be for the memory of Brenda and Max Price when we do pull the plug on Petta. Now, that film wouldn't have been possible without the support of Screen Australia, without Film Victoria and Rob Purvis, who invested in the film. Of course, Scott Millwood for his vision of what the film could be and pursuing what actually happened, or try to uncover what happened to Brenda. And Michael McMahon, who's the producer of the film. And I just want to thank all of those, and indeed the Heen family, for supporting this event tonight. Now, we're lucky enough to have Michael McMahon, the producer, with us, and no doubt that's an interesting experience looking at it again after 12 years. So, Michael, just give me your immediate reaction to sitting there 12 years on looking at that film, and also tell us, how did you get this story? You know, how did you decide that you would take this on?
Thank you, Christine. My immediate response is a very emotional one. It brings back a flood of memories for me of all the incredible people that made the film possible, and some of them I see here tonight. And so it's a very emotional experience. So it's probably better that I move on to something much more sort of unemotional, and that is, how did the story come to me? Scott Millwood and I, Scott grew up in Tasmania, as most of the audience will know. Scott and I made a documentary entitled Wildness about Petta Dombroskis and Allagas Tricanus in 2003. And a couple of years after that, he came to me with the story of Brenda Heen. Now, it wasn't completely unknown to me. In 1972, I was in my first year at university in Canberra, having grown up in a country town. I'd gone to the big city. And certainly on university campuses, the campaign to save Lake Petta was a very prominent campaign. And so, as I say, the story wasn't unknown. Scott undertook a lot of research. It brought back memories for me of the poster of the campaign to save Lake Petta, because that, again, was very prominent in 1972 in Canberra. And that was a theme in Wildness, was the power of the image in a campaign, in any campaign, but particularly an environmental campaign. So with the assistance of Robert Purs, who supported the development, and Ralph Ashton, we got underway, did a lot of research, all of which was really fantastic to see tonight, all that archival research, that phenomenal research that we undertook, and a lot of the people who helped us undertook. To see it all there again tonight was really fantastic. I think it remains, I'm really proud of the film. Scott is very proud of the film, and he apologises that he wasn't able to be here. He actually lives in Europe now, but he sends everyone his best wishes.
That's great. Now, just in terms of making the film, there was obviously so much you had to go through to decide what to use and so on. In terms of meeting all those people, going through all that footage, going through the documents and so on, what stays with you about the overwhelming experience of making this film?
The overwhelming experience for me in making both Wildness, but also Whatever Happened to Brenda Heen, was the incredible sense of dedication and community that I encountered when we went down to Tasmania, and the incredible passion and commitment of the community members that we met, who were so dedicated to the natural environment and the conservation of the environment. That was, you know, something which seems to be, you know, so concentrated in Tasmania, and that was something which, you know, was a phenomenal experience for me and has stayed with me.
Well, rest assured, it's still here.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Michael. I'd now like to just have a quick chat with Celia Watchon, who is Brenda's niece. And Celia was interviewed, of course, for the film. So, Celia, tell me about how you feel now, just watching that again 12 years on, and the family's reaction to that.
Christine, thank you, and thanks so much, Jess. This is an amazing occurrence and happening. Sorry, I've almost forgotten already what you asked me. It's extraordinary to see the film again, and it makes us feel very humble. I think I can speak for all of us, the family, that the effort and the love and concern went into making such an amazing film. It was powerful, it was profound, and to see it again, it must give everyone such hope in a way that there's so much strength out there to keep going, as the Save Lake Pedda from the very beginning has always wanted and has never given up. As Brenda said, we will never give up. So that's amazing. But thank you to everyone and to everyone for watching and moving forward still.
Well, thank you for the family's support for the ongoing campaign and for the belief, of course, that we will restore the lake. It's wonderful that you've been able to join us. And you were very helpful in bringing the footage we're going to see a bit later on. Do you want to talk about that for a minute? How it felt when you first saw that footage of Brenda and Max in the plane leaving?
Thanks, Christine. Yeah, I'm glad you've given me that opportunity, because it was only last Monday, we could go yesterday, that Peter Donnelly's son Charles actually contacted me and said that he had been looking through Peter's footage and had this picture. He sent a photo to begin with and then came up and actually showed us some of the footage. So I have no idea. Timing is impeccable, and you know, one of the things, I think there are so many threads in the Lake Pedda push and restoration drive. There are so many threads that form the fabric of Lake Pedda, and so much so that strong fabric lasts forever, and all these threads come together. And it was another amazing, so they were saying 35 years since the flooding, the film was made, profoundly so. This day, 13 years ago, there was a memorial service at Scots Church, Presbyterian Church, where Brenda played the organ and was a regular churchgoer. And Scott and Michael organised this memorial service, and amazingly, all of us in this chat room were there. I think yourself, Bob Brown, I think Michael, Scott obviously, and Peter Donnelly, who took the film, was there as well. So it's the threads that keep life going, and it's quite profound, I think. That Charles came up with this film, which is quite amazing, that we'll all see at the end of this, the little 2-minute snippet, is very special. Yeah, there's hope. Absolutely.
Absolutely hope, and it's a lovely metaphor that you use about the fabric and all the threads coming together. And the one thing about a rich fabric, a tapestry, is of course that not only is it strong and durable, but it's also quite inspiring. And part of that thread or tapestry of the Pedda campaign was the young people who were working with Brenda as part of the campaigning team. And one of those was Dick Friend. He was a young man at the time, very committed to the preventing the flooding of Pedda. And over all these years, Dick has been one of the people campaigning for the restoration of Pedda, and still to this day. So, Dick, I wanted to ask you, as a young man campaigning, you came across Brenda Heen, who was the face of the campaign. Do you want to tell us about your experience as a young campaigner meeting with Brenda, and particularly your experience out on the lake when the flooding started?
Thank you, Christine. The abiding memory is one of courage. You could see it in what Celia was saying, how courageous she is. And you can see it makes me very emotional thinking about Brenda. It was that conviction she had, how throughout it she was so polite to everyone, but the strength of her character came right through. She always appeared unruffled, always immaculately presented, never a hair out of place, and yet she was so committed. A music teacher, an organist, you know, she appeared to me so different from us young activists. She was leading the fight and we were just mere followers, but in awe.
So tell us about being out in the boat, up a tree.
Take Brenda and a colleague, Mae Smith, to spend time on the dunes. As the whole lake was being flooded, the dunes were still proudly standing out of the waters. But first we had to do a 20-kilometre or so, a long journey. And the boat that had been organised by Lee Holloway, who took the photo of that appeared in the invitation that many of you will have seen of three of us in the boat, that we travelled all that way, winding our way up the Serpentine River. Very windy, the banks still with lots of trees all on them, and we had to find our way and wend our way up that Serpentine River to get into the lake. And it took so long with this boat that was so laden and so heavy in the water with a tiny little putt-putt outboard that it got dark before we got there. And eventually we, while shining torches on the side, we couldn't find our way into the actual lake as it serpentined around backwards and forwards. So in the end, we couldn't get through the trees on the bank either to get to shore. So in the end, there was nothing for it but to wedge the boat in the upper branches of the trees being flooded on the shores, on the edges of the Serpentine. So we wedged the boat in amongst those. And remember, you're on a hugely long lake that had waves of a metre at times. And we wedged it in there. We erected a tent between even more uppermost branches, spread all the gear in the bottom of the boat, rolled out our sleeping bags, and the four of us slept in a boat, up a tree, on a lake, in a tent. And it was one of the most remarkable or extraordinary nights camping I've ever done. The ablutions, of course, don't bear repeating. But eventually the next day we woke up. Brenda had been seasick during the night. I'd been so exhausted by piloting this craft. I slept right through. But eventually we got going again, and we got very quickly. We were in on the lake within half an hour. And there they were to stay on the lake until the very end. And it was amazing that courage that just comes through. Look, later we saw courage again from Brenda when she was tried to persuade not to appear and talk on the hall of the stage of the town hall Hobart, because there was a group of unionists were attempting to influence, and in fact Jack Mundy, famous for the green bands in Sydney, he was in Hobart and he was slated to speak. And he was promoting the concept of a blue band and trying to get some of the unions to stop work on the lake. Well, Brenda was put under enormous pressure by so many of her colleagues, friends and associates, because you shouldn't ever associate with somebody who is an avowed communist like Jack Mundy. Even if he'd saved, the rocks in Sydney, he'd saved Hunter's Hill, a wonderful park in Hunter's Hill, and collaborated with, you know, very polite and wealthy people. It didn't seem to matter to him. But eventually Brenda, she withstood the courage and she went and spoke at this meeting. So she was prepared to put everything on the line. And it's been always so inspirational to me that today I've ensured that I've put in my diary, and I hope everyone else will do the same, put in my recurring diary on my iPhone this anniversary. So remember that this is, you know, Brenda Heen, RIP 1972 is what my diary entry for today reads, and it will recur every year. Brenda Heen, RIP 1972.
That's great. Thank you, Dick. And that passion that Brenda had, people still have for the restoration of Pedder, and you're one of them. And just before I hand over to Bob Brown and we see the footage that is so interesting and new and inspiring, I just wanted to say that we want to have as many of you as possible join us in the Restore Pedder campaign. We need all of your help. Please join us, lakepedder.org. You can join the group. You might want to be part of our supporters list, part of our fundraising. We are at the point of having had quite a lot of studies done on the energy economics of the restoration of Pedder, on the ecological ramifications of draining the impoundment. A lot of work has been done, and 2021 to 2030 is the UN decade for ecosystem restoration. And we want to position Lake Pedder as a flagship of the UN decade and give it the global prominence that it actually has. People in Tasmania, I don't think, realise often that Lake Pedder is a global symbol. At the time that the inundation was being proposed, right back then, people like Prince Philip, IUCN, global institutions were all calling for the lake not to be flooded. And it was just that Tasmanian mentality of destroying the environment, putting a stamp over nature, man conquering nature, so to speak, was really the ethic. But Lake Pedder is right out there as a global symbol, and we want to make that happen again. So please follow us on social media at Restore Pedder, sign up to our mailing list, join us, and most importantly, tell your friends about it, get behind it, because we need to really massively lift public awareness and rev up the campaign to coincide with that UN decade and to make sure that we restore the lake. And to that end, I would like to now introduce Bob Brown to give his reflections on seeing that film again on the restoration of the lake and to introduce the footage that hasn't been seen until now. Thanks, Bob.
Well, thanks, Christine. What can I say? What a great job, first, you're doing with this campaign, and Jess, who introduced us for the night. Secondly, what a remarkable film that is indeed, from Scott Millwood, and all the work you're putting into it, Michael. What a fitting way to have the 48th anniversary of that tragic disappearance of Brenda Heen and Max Price shown tonight. In a changed Tasmania. It's even changed since that film. You can feel the change that's going on here, and the tide is with the restoration of Lake Pedder and the recovery of that beach and the ability of people right around the world to be fascinated by this restoration program, which is, thanks to you, Christine, taken the eye of the United Nations in this decade of ecological restoration, which they've declared between now and 2030. We're still a small organisation, but we're growing. We had the AGM on Sunday, and Paul tells me that we've crossed the 100 again in our growing membership, and it's It's very easy to join us. We need more people right across the country and internationally to join, because that's what makes things happen. Brenda and Helen G back there speaking about this symbolism of if we can't protect places like Lake Pedder, can we protect ourselves? Well, beyond Lake Pedder itself, the restoration program here is about restoring the spirit of we human beings in a very, very troubled world. This is inspiring. It's a beautiful concept. It will happen. The spirit of Brenda Heen will out. The Pedder people will be justified. The question is how long it's going to take. And just for those who are wondering, Lake Pedder produces less than a quarter of the power of the biggest solar power station now being built in Australia. It's a tittle. The energy question, the economic question of it, can only be clung onto by those who are last century. We're moving on beyond that. And this is a very, very exciting campaign to be with. So please join our campaign. Donate where you can, because donations allow things like tonight. And we're in the business of making another film about Lake Pedder. We need funding for that. And you can be part of having that come about, and come about quickly. And that's what makes the changes at a political level and a corporate level that is going to see Lake Pedder once again shining in the sun up there nearly 1,000 feet, as we saw in that film in the Tasmanian Highlands, and restored to its rightful place as the jewel in the heart of the Tasmanian Wilderness World Heritage Area. So everybody, do what you can. We're all in this together, and it's great to be able to say, here's a little piece of the jigsaw to make us wonder about the courage and inspiration of people who have gone before us, and inspire us to have the same as we move towards saving Lake Pedder. So here's that clip. You'll see firstly, Peter Donnelly took some film in Canberra, as Christine said, of Parliament House. Have a look at Parliament House, see if you recognise it, and then over to Brenda and Max as they took off on that fateful day 48 years ago, September the 8th, 1972.